It's News Talk Tonight on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Thank you, Andrew, on the board for kicking things off with a little David Bowie. I'm assuming that's going to continue during the evening. Thank you. He says yes and nods his head. That's just for me. That's the thing that's going to keep me awake for the rest of the show here. That, and speaking with my guests on the rundown, we have two great ones tonight. Mike K. Cook is the co-host of The Morning Drive on AM 800 in Windsor. Mark Mendelson is the former Toronto homicide detective and a News Talk 1010 crime expert. Welcome to the rundown, gentlemen.
Hey, good evening. Mark's credentials sound so much more impressive than mine whenever you introduce us.
I'll say yours louder next time. Yeah, that's right.
Perhaps that's a good point.
I'll say yours in an English accent next time. Maybe that'll make him sound a little fancier.
That makes everything sound better. Yes, it really does. I mean, or a golf announcer voice, maybe. That would be good.
Well, Happy New Year's.
You too.
Welcome.
You too.
I think this is it. This is the last day. Apparently, you're really supposed to say it, but I haven't said it to either of you yet. So, Happy New Year. Did you have fun? Was it a good weekend?
I stayed up.
Really? Did you make it to midnight, Mark?
I made it to 12:05, and then I slipped into a coma. Yes.
Right? Yeah, my significant other Kelly asked me the day before, what are we going to do for New Year's? We just stay home and watch TV or whatever. And I said, oh, we got two football games to watch. She was thrilled with that.
Well, there you go. It sounds like fun, like a rock and roll times at both your places.
Hey, but you know, speaking of David Bowie.
Yes.
Richard, did you see David Byrne from Talking Heads, Miley Cyrus perform Let's Dance on the NBC show that they were airing?
I did see that. And
it was pretty good.
Well, yeah. I love David Byrne. I really do. And American Utopia is one of the greatest live shows I've ever seen. But I have to say, I found him a little awkward looking. The dancing I felt was a little awkward, but listen, I love David Bowie, so Let's Dance is a winner for me. David Byrne's a winner, and I'm warming up to the Miley Cyrus, so there we have it.
All right, there you go. A little New Year's Eve review before we kick off the official topics tonight.
Well, let's talk about ransomware. So a global ransomware operator surprised everyone today by issuing an apology and offering to unlock the data targeted in a ransomware attack on Toronto's Hospital for Sick Children, a move that cybersecurity experts say is rare, if not unprecedented, for the infamous group. They're called the LockBit. They're a ransomware group that the U.S. Federal Bureau of Investigation has called one of the world's most active and destructive. And, I mean, I don't know really what they're trying to do here. It's, I guess, good that they have done this. It saved sick kids a lot of money. They said, we've gotten rid of the operative that did that. But these are people that break into your computer and then demand lots of money. They've broken into and shut down the computer systems for several towns in Ontario and Quebec. These are not great people. So, Mark, what's your take on this? Is this a step towards rehabilitation for them, or what's going on here?
No. These are criminals with a conscience now. So somebody in their crisis communications department of their hacking company said, oh, you hacked into what? Sick kids? Oh, no, this is not good for business. But let's be really clear. These guys have one rule in life, and that is to plant malware and software into corporate companies, into hospitals, and as you mentioned, Richard, into cities, and essentially paralyze them for a ransom. Okay, so that's where their heart is. That's where their state of mind is. And I guess, and don't forget, they also rent this stuff out to other hackers to try, and they get a commission on how much money they get, you know, they can extract out of these companies. So really, I have a very warm heart for their corporate and community due diligence. But let's be real. They've done it. They got really bad feedback on it. They probably have the eyes of the FBI and the RCMP and Lord knows what else upon them now. And they realize this was not good for business. The danger is now that they said, oops, sorry, we didn't mean to break into your place. We thought we'd go over to Bob's restaurant and hack him instead. The difference is now is they'll say, well, look, we're going to give you the decryption key so that you can get all your stuff back. But historically, they lose about 40% when they take the encrypted stuff and decrypt it. So we're going to give you some of what we stole from you. And here's the key for it. The danger, of course, is you don't know what you're getting from them. And at the end of the day, they may just be putting another piece of malware, Trojan software, onto the corporate communications. You're dealing with criminals. You're dealing with people who take things hostage. And you're paying a ransom for it, and it's wrong, and it's bad for business for them. And I think sick kids, you know, they've got some pretty good IT people, forensic IT people working on it, and that's what's needed. I wouldn't pay them a dime, and I wouldn't take the encryption key or the decryption key from them. I'd just start from scratch again and say the heck with you.
That's basically what you have to do, yeah. Right, Mark? I know some organizations and charitable organizations here in Windsor that have had to do the same thing, either pay the ransom or start over. I mean, that's the only option, basically, right?
Absolutely. They paralyzed Sick Kids Hospital, right? They compromised the imaging department. They compromised the telephones, and they compromised all of the HR and payroll. Now imagine if you're a parent and your kid is waiting for his or her MRI or CT scan, and you can't get the results because there's a little thing running around in the computer that's making it inaccessible. I mean, unconscionable. That's the only word I can use for it.
Mike, you host the Morning Drive show on AM 800 in Windsor. You must have a text board. So while you're there talking about whatever it is that you're talking about, the texts come in. And as we all know, anyone who's sat in front of one of those on radio, you know it's a mixed bag. And you know that you get people from both sides of the political spectrum chiming in, disagreeing or agreeing with you, but usually in really stringent terms. But now along comes a poll that suggests that the political party should be fighting over people in the middle, not those on the edges of the spectrum, because there's more Canadians in the middle than there are on the left or the right. The text board suggests otherwise to me. What's your experience with that?
I'm aware of the text board, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, doesn't it just, you know, kind of make sense of where they're coming from, that, you know, anybody who is big time conservative on the right, it doesn't matter what is being said or what is being done, they are going to vote for the party of their choice. Mm-hmm. Other way around, too. Liberal people that are left wing are going to just, you know, they're going to vote for that people. So to go for the people that are undecided or are saying, okay, what's best for me, what's best for my area, what's best for my family, my business, that does seem to make a lot of sense. But, you know, how do you do that while you still play to your, loyal side, loyal followers, and then bring in some people from the center? Because I think when you go after the center, then you're going to, you know, piss off the people that are on either side of you that are already supporting you. I think, it's a slippery slope for political parties.
I just think that we have become so divided in so many ways in politics so often, and maybe it's because I sit in front of a text board so often, it seems to be like sports. There's the Leafs and there's the Habs, and you'll fight over your loyalty to one or the other, but you cannot be a fan of both. And it seems to me that's what politics has turned into. And I like the suggestion that there's a bit of nuance in the middle there. Mark, do you like the nuance, or do you think that those are just people in the mushy middle who can't make up their mind?
Well, let me just clarify one thing. There really is only the Leafs. Okay. Now that we've got that out of the
way. All right.
I mean, sure, you've got pro-convoy, anti-convoy, pro-vax, anti-vax, pro-gun, anti-gun, pro-liberal, pro-conservative, crypto, you name it. And I agree, it's the people in the middle, like guys like me, right? Who I vote for my MP based on the person. And generally speaking, that's how I've always done it. But I've seen such a huge split, and the pendulum is so large now that you've got to pick your poison. Mm-hmm. But I think if I was in the political world, the middle is where your extra votes are going to come from, that are going to defeat the other side and give you that majority. And whether you're going to steal from the Green Party or from the NDP or Lord knows what else, that's going to be the edge at the end of the day. We are so fractured and we are so divided, not unlike the United States. Mm-hmm. They're in the same boat that we're in, they're just in bigger numbers. But I think that's where it comes from. Comes from the middle.
We are out of time for this segment. Mark Mendelson, former Toronto homicide detective and News Talk 1010 crime expert, and Mike K. Cook, the co-host. I can't even do an English accent to do this. The co-host of the Morning Drive on AM 800 in Windsor. Was that classy enough for you?
Come on.
We'll be back with more Rundown after this. Stay with me.
Oh.
You're listening to News Talk Tonight on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
We're redubbing the show David Bowie tonight, just for tonight. Lots of David Bowie coming in and out of segments, courtesy of Andrew on the board. I'm Richard Krause, sitting in for Jim Richards on News Talk Tonight. David Bowie tonight. And we're in the midst of the rundown. The rundown is where we bring in two smart people, way smarter than me, to talk about the big stories of the day. Today, joining me is Mike K. Cook, co-host of The Morning Drive on AM 800 and in Windsor, and Mark Mendelson, former Toronto homicide detective and News Talk 1010 crime expert. Mark, the convoy organizer, James Bowder, says, the 2023 protest in Winnipeg is off because he was worried that Ontario's new Bill 100, which was passed last year after the first convoy protests, which said that it prohibits protests at protected transportation infrastructure, including airports and border crossings, that kind of thing, would be used on them, except that that's a law in Ontario, not Manitoba. I don't really understand this. Is there a chance that Bill 100 could have been used on them in Manitoba?
Yeah, they might have waved it in front of them. Look, what we did learn during the commission of inquiry in Ottawa is that not only did the Ottawa police not have an operational plan and were kind of messed up, but we also had an opportunity to see the organizers of the convoy. All, I don't know how many of them came out there, all of them with their own agenda and all of them with their own ideas, and that nobody was a leader. And essentially they were the gang that couldn't shoot straight. And that was clearly evident in the way that they participated in their activities in Ottawa. So here we go. Here we got the guy who's also before the courts on other matters related to convoy issues, et cetera, decides he's going to move it to Winnipeg. I think that they realized that they couldn't organize Ottawa. They're certainly not going to be able to organize Winnipeg. Some people probably said they didn't want to be in Winnipeg in February because mm-hmm. it's really cold anyways.
It's the last place you want to be.
Right? Yeah. Listen, nobody's happier that they're not showing up than the Winnipeg Police Service. I can tell you that. I'm sure they're all having a beer right now saying, yeah, beautiful, this is good. But, you know, I don't think that this country has an appetite for this right now, that we've seen enough of convoys, mm-hmm. we've seen enough of commissions, we've seen enough of anti-vax demonstrations, we've seen enough of everything. People just want to get back to their lives again. We're just coming out of the pandemic and all the quarantine measures that took place. The trucks are running and the Ambassador Bridge is working, the tunnel's working, the Peace Bridge is working, Coots, Alberta's working. The last thing they want is a bunch of misfits sort of taking over Portage in Maine. So I think this is a good thing for everybody.
I think so, too. But, Mike, do you think that there is any appetite for this out there? Mark doesn't think so. I don't really particularly think so. And maybe that's what the convoy organizers, it dawned on them. Oh, you know, nobody really wants this. What's your take?
Yeah, it's like throwing a party and nobody shows up, right? You know, put the invites out there and like, oh, well, this isn't, you know, like Woodstock, the original compared to the follow-up. It wasn't quite the same thing, right? And I feel like we just got done everything that was in Ottawa and here in Windsor and everything with the Emergencies Act inquiry. Like, it almost like that just extended it to the end of 2022. And then that wrapped up and it's like, okay, can we all move on? We got bigger issues to deal with, like inflation and people being able to find affordable housing and people be able to find their groceries, to worry about this nonsense again. So, yeah, I'm happy. I'm like Mark said, I'm sure the Winnipeg police are happy. I'm sure the citizens are happy. And that's enough of these this nonsense. Let's move on and deal with the issues that we have to in 2023.
One of the things that people are thinking about as we get ready to reboot our lives and go out to restaurants and that sort of thing is how much to tip. And there a new survey has found that 37% of Canadians would tip between 15 to 19% if they receive exceptional service at a restaurant that is not busy. But at a busy restaurant, 34% said that they would tip 20% or higher if they received exceptional service. And that number jumped slightly to 36% if the restaurant was exceptionally busy. I look at the tip options now on the portable machine that comes by, the pay machine, and listen, there's no 15% opportunity there anymore. It starts at 18 and goes up to like 25. Do you think we're sort of at the brink here of maybe either saying we got to kind of standardize this a little bit, or Mark, do you think that we should really push for the no tipping restaurants? And there's a couple of them here in Toronto. There's a couple more in Montreal. It seems to be a growing trend. Where do you stand on this?
Well, I think if the servers and you know, the back of the bar people and the kitchen people are paid properly, mm-hmm. and they are and they're well informed as to what's going on, and but they get a decent wage that would normally cover what they got in tips, and they're happy to do it, then I don't mind paying the extra buck or two or whatever it's going to be for an entree. What I do have trouble with is, like you, Richard, when you get the machine and trying to customize your tip mm-hmm. turns into, you know, solving a, you know, a word puzzle thing after you've had four glasses of wine. Yep. You know, you just, okay, hell, the heck with it. I'm just giving you 20. You know, that doesn't seem fair to me either as a customer, because I sit there, I don't want to tip on the tax. I don't like tipping on the tax. I like to tip on the bill. And if service is great, yeah, I'll go 20 or 25. If service is bad, I'll still go 18. I don't think I've ever walked out of a restaurant without leaving a tip, because that just is not fair, because it doesn't all fall on your server. Mm-hmm. It really doesn't. It's a kitchen. It's the back of the house, whatever. So, you know, but what I don't tip on, I'll tell you right now, is when I take out, okay? Mm-hmm. If I'm walking into the place to get my coffee, I'm the one who's walking in. I'm the one who's standing in line. You're just pouring the coffee. You're not getting a tip from me. I'm sorry.
I'm a sucker for that, though. But I worked in bars and restaurants for a long time, so I do tip at coffee houses and that sort of thing.
Make me feel bad. Make me feel cheap.
Okay, I'm not at all. My experience is different. Well,
I don't tip on takeout. Maybe a dollar. Maybe I'll throw in a dollar or something. And I did tip more during the pandemic for takeout. But not anymore. If I throw in a buck, maybe something like that. I'm with you, Mark. Like, I'm doing the work. I came out in the cold to come get my takeout, and you put it in a bag, so we're all good. But, like, tipping seems antiquated to me. Like, can we just get rid of the whole system? It's and we talk about it all the time, especially in radio, because it's one of those go-to topics that gets a lot of action on the text boards and the phone line, so it's awesome for us. But, like, it seems antiquated, and, like, why is it always about, like, restaurants? You know, there are other people that, you know, work on tips, or there's other businesses that have struggled just as much during the pandemic. We're not saying, well, you know, I got this product from Home Depot. I bought an appliance, and I know the appliance people are struggling a little bit through this pandemic. I'm going to throw in an extra $100 to them. Everywhere else, we're trying to save money, and in tipping in the service restaurants, it seems like we're almost being pressured to spend more money, even though all of us are going through inflation and have not as much money as we used to.
I was at a coffee shop the other day. I bought a muffin. No coffee. I'd already done all that for the day, but I was hungry. I bought a muffin. It was $3 for the muffin, and then they had four options, but not percentages. One was $1, $2, $3, and then it said others. So the least you could leave was $1 on a $3 purchase. So I said, well, other, and it was like trying to do Wordle to try and figure out how to leave the other option there.
You need those people that broke into children's hospitals computers to help you out with the tip machine.
Yeah, they'll walk you through it.
All right, quick, we only have a minute left. Mike, what do you think? Should Donald Trump be back on Facebook? Apparently, Facebook's parent company Meta is considering whether or not to allow former U.S. President Donald Trump back onto its platforms. You got 1 minute.
Okay, I think you should, because that's just kind of an issue of fairness that they said, we will be banning you for 2 years. The 2 years is up, so you got to give somebody another chance after the punishment is done and put him in some kind of parole, and if he messes up again, then he's gone.
How fair-minded that was. That's not what I expected. Mike Kaycock is the co-host of The Morning Drive.
I tried to be quick so we can get to more.
That was awesome. No, this is it. We're out of time. It's the new year. Things are faster now. It's The Morning Drive on AM 800 in Windsor. That's Mike Kaycock. Mark Mendelson, former Toronto homicide detective and News Talk 1010 crime expert. Gentlemen, thanks for your insights. I appreciate it, and have a great 2023, although I expect I'll be talking with you both very soon.
All right.
Don't forget New Year. And leave a buck in the tip jar there, Richard.
There you go. Well, I'll leave one for you too, Mark.
I appreciate it, buddy.
You're listening to News Talk Tonight. I'm Richard Krause in for Jim Richards. Stay with me. Lots more to come.